We are so caught up in our own expectations. And sadly, on the path, you can create spiritual expectations with which you then live. You can imagine them on the inner planes. That's why I always feel as a Sufi, if you know what you are doing, you're probably doing the wrong thing. Idiots don't know what they are doing. Lovers certainly don't know what they are doing. They just love. And we are allowed to forget ourselves. And we are allowed to make mistakes, such as the freedom of this path. We don't have to be perfect. We are not even meant to be perfect. This is another big misunderstanding. We are not meant to be perfect. If you were perfect, you couldn't live in this realm of existence. You would dissolve or die. This realm of existence is imperfect. And part of the beauty and freedom of the path is learning to live with your own imperfections. There is a perfect world, yes, somewhere there on the seventh heaven, not here. And we have another big problem in the West, that we always want to be other than what we are. Well, who created you? Who created you with such care as a unique expression of its uniqueness? And you can only live his uniqueness as you really are. Can only be lived in this way. So don't even try to be spiritual. When people come to our group, often one of the first things I have to try to do is to get rid of any spiritual expectations. And I always say, please don't try to live a spiritual life. It is such an illusion. You are the way you ought to be inside yourself. Live your daily life for his sake, as an offering to God. But people want other things. They want to improve themselves. Yes, we have to get rid of certain tendencies that get in the way. Yes. We have to purify ourselves to a certain degree. Yes. Too much purification becomes narcissistic. And there is such a thing as spiritual narcissism, unfortunately. You know, people who are always obsessed with their own spiritual self-image. Sufism is about incredible freedom. Because the beloved is free, and we belong to the beloved. And we are free to love wherever the beloved turns our heart. One great Sufi, Jami, he said, never turn away from love, not even love in human form, for only love can free you from yourself. You see, we are made of love. The texture of our body is love. And the fragrance of our soul has incredible amount of love in it. It permeates everything. But often we don't know what to do with it. We don't have to do anything. That is the beauty of it. It does us. This is a path of surrender. The beloved knows what to do with us. The practices of the path align us with the currents of love that flow from the inner world into the plane of manifestation. The inner attitude, what I call the Sufi saying, the adab, the attitude that is necessary, the inner character, helps us to live the currents of love. But it really doesn't matter. Because it is not about us. It is about our beloved. Mrs. Tweedy gave many, many talks, and they were recorded, and somebody was transcribing them. And they wanted to know what a particular word meant. And this was about 10 years after she stopped lecturing. And they came to her, this person came to her and said, "What does this word mean?" And she says, "My dear, I don't know. I gave those talks then. That's how I saw it then. For me, it is now all about merging. If you love something, you want to get closer and closer. And part of the mystery of the Sufi path is this mystery of merging, in which something of you is absorbed into God. How it happens, one doesn't know. You can't do it yourselves. But it happens because He loves us. Because He wants to reveal in the hearts of His friends His own mysteries of love. And He has to change the heart in order to do that. That is why the heart has to be transformed. Not so you can come closer to God, because you're already close to God. But so the heart can become a container in which He can reveal His mysteries without the light of that destroying you. This is why it takes time. That is all. And when the light of His love goes into the heart of His servant, then the mysteries of the beloved become part of everyday life. Then I think one makes a real contribution to life, because in everyday life you spread the mysteries of God. Not through doing anything, not through saying anything, because Sufism is a state of being, just through being. Just through being here for His sake. And you are always given everything you need. Even if you need the absence of God, you are given that. But please put behind any desire for spiritual progress. It is a great hindrance. It is a very big misunderstanding. It has to do with certain spiritual teachings from the East being translated into a Western egotistic frame of reference. All the Sufis, they say, take one step away from yourself and behold the path. Lose yourself and find the beloved. Or as Al-Halaj says, "Between you and me there lingers an it is I. O God, through thy mercy, take this it is I from between us both." And remember, there is nothing other than God. Again, to quote Abu Sa'id, whom I love so much, he says, "Sufism consists in turning the heart away from everything that is not God. But there is not anything that is not God. If you look with the eyes of love, with the eyes of the beloved, everything, everything is He. And that is the work that we need to do, because the world has forgotten that everything is He. The world, for some reason, has become this desert of divine absence. Only the transcendent God seems to be real. Yes, there is an aspect of the divine that is transcendent, beyond even our idea of the beyond. Tremendous, unbelievable. No one knows God but God. But in his creation, he reveals himself to himself. And we are part of this mystery of revelation. We have inside of us the names of God written. And we need to learn how to read them. And you can only read the names of God in creation when you are here, in this world. When you die, you will not be able to read them. They will not be visible. And that opportunity will have passed. Remember, friends, this world is not as it appears. One of the principles of Sufi training is never to see things as they appear, but to be open to what is really there. And for the lover, all that is ever really there is the beloved. This is this beautiful poem of Yusuf and Zuleika. Zuleika, let everything be the name of Joseph, from celery seed to aloes wood. She loved him so much, she concealed his name in many different phrases, the inner meanings known only to her. When she said the wax is softening near the fire, she meant, my love is wanting me. Or if she said, look, the moon is up, or the willow has new leaves, or the branches are trembling, or the coriander seeds have caught fire, or the roses are opening, or the king is in a good mood today, or isn't that lucky? Or the furniture needs dusting, or the water carrier is here, or it's almost daylight, or these vegetables are perfect, or the bread needs more salt, or the clouds seem to be moving against the wind, or my head hurts, or my head aches better. Anything she praises, it's Joseph's touch she means. Any complaint, it's his being away. When she's hungry, it's for him. Thirsty, his name is a sherbet. Cold, he's a fur. This is what the friend can do when one is in such love. Sensual people use the holy names often, but they don't work for them. The miracle Jesus did by being the name of God, Zuleika felt in the name of Joseph. The beloved is not just a hidden secret, but a living reality, and we are part of this reality. But we have forgotten it. So when you leave this place, remember you were together with other lovers of God from many different places. People have come here from all over the world. And we were here together for his sake, for the sake of the one to whom we belong, who has written his name in fire on the back of our hearts, who has stamped our soul somewhere with a stamp of remembrance, that we don't forget him, that we are not allowed to forget him, and who has drawn us to him with this wonderful love, with a love that begins with a memory of oneness that is awakened within the heart, and a oneness that includes everything because he is one. Everything contains this oneness. In this oneness, we are part of the whole mystery of creation, and the whole mystery of creation is a part of us. We carry the fragrance of the unseen and the fragrance of what is seen, and they meet together within us. The inner and the outer worlds have come together, friends. The mysteries of the inner world no longer need to be found only in deep meditation. They can be found here in the world that is visible. I have placed my signs on the horizons and in themselves. But we can only read it with an eye attuned to love, with a heart awakened to love, with an ear listening to love. Only then can we see what is written in the book of life. Only then can we give to humanity the mysteries of life as they are written with love. And we are always given what we need for the work we need to do. If our heart needs to be awakened, our heart will be awakened. If we need to see with the eyes of oneness, the eye of oneness will be awakened. We don't have to struggle for it. It is already present. It has been given. Because a beloved gives to his lover. In love, there is no buying and selling. There is just the gift of love, the unfolding of love. So I would like to end by repeating this Hopi poem, because I think it is important to go back to the spiritual ancestors of the place. Because I said this conference is about being here, not somewhere else, but here. Being together here, coming together here. Because in the Sufi tradition, things happen when the hearts of his lovers come together. In physical space. Something can only be given from heart to heart, can only be shared from heart to heart, together in the same place. It is said, for example, that it is better to sit with the Sufis for 10 minutes than to do 10 years of ascetic practices. Sufis have always done everything from heart to heart, from soul to soul, together for his sake. But it is also deeply important to recognize the sacredness of the earth and those spiritual ancestors of this place who hold this together. So I would like to end again with this message from the Hopi elders. To my fellow swimmers, There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel that they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore. Push off into the middle of the river. Keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. And I say, who is there with you? See who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for. So God bless, friends. And just one thing, if people have to drive, please be a little bit careful. If you are sensitive, you might not be aware you have been somewhere else as well as here for a few days. And one's reactions can be a little bit less quick. It's difficult to, you don't know that your mind hasn't quite been here. So you just have to be a little bit careful with just getting in your car and going on the freeway. Yeah? Okay. God bless.